CliffCentral.com.
All right, Zaid Boulay is here with us. He is someone I've known for a long time. He's one of our friends in Durban, one of many of the people that we know here. But he's got a kind of an interesting story that I wanted him to tell, and I also wanted us to get to know him a little bit better because he's got interesting perspectives on things. He's a radio dude like me. He's been in the business a long, long time. What, 15 years?
Just about there, yes.
You're 15 years. You're becoming a veteran. Isn't that scary?
It is, but I think it's important to kind of really motivate and get the youngsters on board, and that's the idea.
Well, man, it's nice to see you, and I've known you and your family for a little while, and so every time we come down here, we sort of try to connect or do something, and I just thought it's the perfect opportunity to have you here. Plus, there's this general thing I want to talk about, that South Africa, we always talk about our different communities. So we'll talk about black people, white people. We don't often, or not nearly as often, talk about how complex and interesting the Indian community is and how complex and interesting the colored community is. So I just thought, you know what, we're in Durban. The Indian community in KZN has played such a pivotal, integral role in where South Africa is right now. They bat and punch way above their league in terms of their numbers. The actual numbers in population. I thought, you know, I'm not going to make you a spokesperson for the whole Indian community, but I just thought this is something you've been immersed in for a long time, and there's some stories around kind of what happened at Lotus, too, that I want to talk about, because I know you've got opinions on that.
All right. Coming to the Indian part, Gareth.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you look at it, we kind of on the top of the food chain at the moment, if you really look at it, what's happening globally.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first of all, population-wise, India is like at the top of the food chain. There are more educated scientists and engineers coming out of India than any other country. So when we talk about like India, we're talking about a very, very powerful force. Sure. These are the people who are going to, if they don't rule the world, they'll understand the world better than anyone else in the next 20 years.
Exactly. And then you obviously, within that, you know, over the last few years, first of all, good day to everybody, to the entire team.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Everybody says hello, right, Ben Mubs? Don't panic about it.
Listen
to them, they're listening.
So we've been obviously on top of the food chain in terms of haters as well. That's something that, notice all around 24/7, you know, wherever we go. To a certain extent. I don't know if you've seen, I mean, currently what's happening in the States is a perfect example, you know, for what's happening currently. So in going where I'm going with this is that basically you have all of this, but what, from an Indian perspective, what the guys have done over the last few years is basically taken that and kind of really used it to catapult to where they really need to be in terms of success, etc.
Yeah.
Pretty much, for example, I mean, you and I are in a similar kind of scenario where people love to hate us sometimes. In reality, it happens. And what do? We basically kind of work through and give, you know, even more of ourselves and push ourselves even more further. And that's something, you know, the strength and resilience of Indian people is kind of really their story.
Now, totally agree with you. I don't find Indian people to be quick to offense. I don't find Indian people to be the ones who are standing on top of statues, screaming and shouting. In this country, certainly, the Indian community mostly keep their heads down and start making their own progress. And very often, they drag everyone else with them in terms of progress, which is a good thing for all of us.
Sure.
I mean, I'm generalizing, but that's what we're here to do a lot of the time, you know, try to figure out patterns that make sense of the world.
Exactly.
All right, so where did you grow up? You're from Middelburg or something.
Middelburg and Mpumalanga. That's
yes,
where I really...
What a terrible place to come from. You know, they can't even drink the water there anymore. See, don't look at me like that. They can't drink... You cannot drink the water in Middelburg.
They still have people still where they grow up.
Yeah, of course they have people, but I mean, how did you end up in Middelburg? How did your family end up in Middelburg?
Well, the family obviously moved up country, call it that, to kind of, you know, dad and mom needed to go through with business, etc. So right. Durban was, you know, obviously not the answer. And I spent a fair amount of my time growing up, you know, kind of learning. And for me, it was great because in those days, call it that, that's how old I've become, sheesh, is basically, it was, what was great was kind of really emerging with the various kind of communities. And we're talking in those days, the Afrikaans community, I speak Afrikaans and, you know, I grew up with Afrikaans speaking people, etc. And we all got on. And at the same token, when I did radio, I went into, the so-called, Mhluzi location at the time and I did radio there as well. So there's always this kind of, diversity in me. And, what I love about it is that kind of really, speaks to who I am in terms of just getting people to, you know, kind of get on with each other. And that's vital.
And here's another thing about if we're going to be stereotyping in a good sense, here's a stereotype that Indian people can own and be very proud of, is that they are they seem to me to be the best people in the world when it comes to assimilation.
Sure.
Cultural assimilation. Indian people, you put them anywhere in the world. I've met New Yorkers who are Indian. I've met London people who are Indian. I've met people here in South Africa who are. I've met people who are from Asia, different parts of Asia, by the way, Chinese Indians. In other words,
right.
People of Indian genes and Indian ancestry, but they speak Mandarin and they live in Hong Kong. Everywhere in the world you will find Australians. You find Indian people all over the world, and they've assimilated into and learnt the culture of the place that they live in, maintained a part of their own culture, obviously. I mean,
sure.
You know, we have amazing things in South Africa which are directly attributable to Indian ancestry.
Yes.
You know, some ways of speaking, some ways of you know, some cultural artifacts, so to speak, and, of course, food and things like that that are much more obvious. I've been to a couple of Indian weddings in my life. That is a spectacle to behold.
Cultural, yes. Yeah. Lots of color, lots of food. And
some of the best weddings I've ever been to.
Yeah. And, you know, coming back to you were speaking about it, in terms of, you know, the foundation in South Africa, if you look at the work that Gandhi did when he came through at that time, you know, kind of really laid the foundation for a lot of the work that we, or the kind of freedom that we currently have as well. So there's been great work in that sense. And like you said, everybody gets, as Indian people, they get involved, they get to what they need to get done, get down, working, and that's vital, you know, kind of really footing in and being part and parcel of it, but also kind of really leading that humble life as well.
So coming from Middelburg in Mpumalanga, what got you into radio? And is there even, like, there was a radio station there called Middelburg FM?
Greater Middelburg FM, yes, okay. Community radio.
Uh-huh. That's where you started?
That's where I started. I think in me there's always been this kind of real, they call it that bug, or, you know, it runs through your blood for me, you know, just being part and parcel of radio. And I used to listen to 5, you know, 5 FM when you were on at that time, you know, in those days. And, you know, cassette tapes where they record the favorite, you know, tracks, etc. as well. You know, that's the kind of, you know, lifestyle that I had. But it's just something that I always had a passion for. And when they opened up, gave me a small window of an opportunity to do a show, you know, from there, it was just, this is what I'm kind of destined for. But there was work and there was corporate, etc. And it's in my blood.
You start in community radio. I mean, were you the kind of guy who you just wanted to, you just wanted to do a show. You wanted to share opinions with people, play a couple of songs, just have some fun, build an audience, that kind of thing. Is that what got you into it?
I think it was a bit more than that, because in the long term, it's about kind of really, for me, and from that time till now, it still you know, stays the same. The moment I put on the mic and when I say something, or if I play something, etc., if I can kind of transform my listeners' mind in some way or kind of get them to a better space, then my work is done.
Okay. Now, where did you go from there? Because there are only so many places in media that you can work in,
sure,
South Africa. So you went from Middelburg, you put on your, like, backpack and you trekked out of Middelburg as quickly as you could.
And got into Durban, that's right.
Yeah.
I worked for another community radio station here called Hinvani, and I worked for them for about 2 years. And while working for them, I did a bit of work at the SABC in terms of radio drama. So I got a chance to kind of showcase a bit of drama.
You've done some theater, you've been involved in the local music industry. We'll get into that just now. Okay, so you go to this community station.
So I went into this community station. I worked for them for about 2 years, and also kind of got an opportunity to have a show on a Saturday night and really get things going. And, you know, once I knew that the bug was there, because it was in me, because with the period of trekking back here, trying to get again onto radio, the only other platform was again another community station. So that's when I got involved with Hinvani and worked for them for a bit. And there, after doing a bit of radio drama, the guys at SABC kind of, you know, saw what I do, etc. And I got in touch with them and I said, you know what, Lotus FM, this big, huge platform on SABC, this is the way that I'd like to go through with. And so I submitted a demo. And the next thing I knew, Carlito Sheikh at the time was one of the managers, said to me, listen, I'm heading out to 5, but I'm going to leave your demo here. And if something happens, it happens.
Now, okay, just explain Lotus to those of us who never really, we knew about it. Maybe people are aware of it, but they don't necessarily know. How many listeners did this station have at its peak?
At its peak, just around 350, call it about 400,000 roughly.
That's a lot of people.
Yep,
and so, and they would play what? A lot of Indian music like Bhangra and that kind
of
thing?
That's where the culturally, over 30 years of the brand, they started off playing a lot of, you know, kind of being in the community, that kind of music.
Right.
There was a fair amount of local content or local music that was that's currently played and that were, you know, was played at the time when on Inception as well. And that's basically a very
successful station. Did they make money?
Yes, huge, okay. Huge amounts of money.
They were supported by the listeners. I mean, because that's how a station makes money. If you don't have a loyal audience, you're not going to get advertisers. Some of those advertisers might even come from your loyal audience.
Sure.
Yeah. So they were making money. Everything was going well, and then all of that changed when Claudio Mutsuneng decided he's going to make a rule that only 10% of your music is allowed to be international, and the rest must all be local.
Exactly. A lot of listeners were up in arms about this because, you know, suddenly you were accustomed to listening to the latest in terms of what's happening in Bollywood, etc.
Mm.
Even, you know, in Bollywood, you then also have South Indian music, etc.
Yeah.
as well. So they were up in arms because of this. And now
like Tamil stuff.
Yeah. So there wasn't kind of an opportunity for them to listen to what they wanted to listen to, etc. They were like being told, and I actually incidentally set in the conversation where Claudi was interviewed about on a Saturday morning on the show that I was producing, and he was just adamant and straight out saying, he actually even crapped on the poor presenter that started up and said straight, this is the way forward and it's not changing. So I was there, right there, when it actually happened.
So how did that affect the audience? I mean, did they just leave Lotus in their droves?
Well, I believe so. And also, during that conversation with him, we had, you know, listeners, loyal listeners that were phoning and were in tears, crying on the phone, saying, you know, you can't do this. Do it in steps or work some sort of kind of way through, because we really want that identity. We really want that music we want to listen to that.
And they care about the station. It belongs to them.
Exactly.
It feels like a member of the family almost. And then you go, you change its character. It's like one of your kids come home and they're a drug addict after being years and years of being the A student.
Yeah, exactly. So I was there when that actually you know, happened or occurred, and it kind of broke me to a certain extent, because, you know, if you have a real passion for this, you really know that your listeners are the most vital part of it. If you don't have them, you don't have any sort of business or any of that. And yeah, it kind of really asked me, or made me ask the question, is this really where I belong, etc.
Well, I don't even know if we can ever do a complete accounting of what damage that idiot did to radio at the SABC. It happened after I'd left, so I, to be perfectly honest, don't care in terms of my own personal career and everything else. But it's just, it's such a slap in the face of so many millions of people who've listened to those stations for years and years. And this Claudio Mutsuneng, who's now been roundly called all the things that I've said and all the things that you've probably said and all the things that everybody else believes, by everyone with the exception of Faith Mutambi, that blind chairperson, Professor Maguve, and the president. Everyone else in the country thinks he's the biggest walking, talking joke that ever has existed. And to put someone like that in control, it boggles the mind, right?
True.
So is Lotus limping at the moment? I mean, what's going on there? Because you decided that was when you wanted to launch something new.
October, I was out. I believe they've got a lot of work to do in terms of obviously capturing the markets, etc. But the idea behind all of it is that you have to kind of really give listeners what they want. And, you know, currently what they want is the latest of what's happening in terms of, you know, the Indian diaspora or across the world. And they want the music. You know, music drives, you know, when you're going through to work in the morning, or, you know, if you had a crappy day at work, etc., in the evening, you want to kind of really tune into something that is, that kind of perks your mood or picks you up. Or even maybe a track that you heard years ago that made a brilliant memory. And that's something that's lacking at the moment.
Now, let's just talk quickly about, because I want to get into Sky Radio, which is something you started after you left Lotus. But before we get into that, just to go back to the Indian community for a second, because there are communities within communities. So you've got like a North Indian influence and a South Indian influence.
Those and then you have very the Islamic, different. Islamic part of
yeah,
it
there,
as
there's
well.
Islamic and Hindu and even sort of a little bit of Buddhism in some parts of the Indian community. So you've got different – and I'm not saying that it's all broken up and that these people necessarily identify themselves as being different from everybody else, but there are these divisions within the Indian community. Not all of them are negative divisions. Some of them are celebrated. So what other breakdown can you give us? Because people mustn't think that this is a monolithic community of people who all believe the same things, who all behave the same way, who all think about each other in very closed terms.
I think a lot of the breakdown sometimes happens, in recent times, I would say, call it over the last 20 years, where, the cultures have changed. If you look at the times when Indians really arrived in the country, all they had was each other, because all they knew was each other,
right?
Et cetera. And they came through and they made things happen amongst each other. So what you'd find at that time, 156 years or 150 years ago, was
like a lot of homogenization.
Exactly.
So people would share
festivals,
stuff. They'd incorporate
festivals. You know, the Indian people, there was no such thing as North Indian or South Indian in Durban or in South Africa, for that matter, or Muslim people, because everybody would celebrate accordingly. Over the last few years, there's kind of, with life, I suppose, that's happened, et cetera, and, apartheid, all of that, there's been obviously various divisions, et cetera, as well. And that's something that, we have to understand and realize that it has happened. But
Take the clock back and you can't force people to do what they don't want to do. But
the greatest part is that if you look at the youth, the current youngsters that are out and about, that are growing up in this kind of day and age that we have, they've got a different vibe about them. They basically don't worry about the fact that, there's this religious or this color thing, etc. In terms of Indian, they would listen to Kwaito music. They'd listen to, kind of Justin Bieber, and then, maybe a little bit of Indian. Sometimes they may not even listen to any Indian music at all,
Again, so, this is your biggest weapon. If you are of Indian cultural heritage, your biggest weapon is your ability to assimilate. And to just take the best out of whatever culture you're interested in and incorporate it in your own. And if you want to keep a little bit of your traditional value in there too, you're allowed to. And if you don't, that's also okay.
Exactly.
What other community in the world is as open to outside influence as that? I think it's a tremendously powerful weapon for Indian people.
True.
Hey, Sia?
True.
Have you ever thought about that?
Not in the way you've put it, but now as I think about it, I'm like, actually, yes.
I have friends who are like... This is, we've got to be so careful here because I don't want people to get the idea that we're generalizing. I have friends that are like Indian people, but they tend to be like hanging around with white people all the time.
Yeah.
And there are Indian friends of mine who hang around with colored people all the time. There are Indian people who only hang around with Indian people all the time. And I've really been around Durban a long time. I've played at clubs where I have a totally Indian crowd, but it's different crowds every time. I've been to Tongat. I've been to clubs in Durban itself, which are like you've got some of the richest people in the country going to these places.
Yeah.
And I've seen girls who are like they are these are the most beautiful women in South Africa, full stop. Black, white, Indian, whatever it might be. And they have boyfriends of various backgrounds and racial groups and all the rest of it. And there's no talk of it. It's not a big deal. Mm. It's not a thing. I'm only talking about it now because it's noticeable to people outside of the community.
Yes.
But you know as well, my fascination, my hold with the Indian culture as well, is the fact that they're very rooted in their spirituality. And as much as they can, move around the world and assimilate, but there's still this identity and that connection to the identity that I've always been fascinated by. So that's why I hope somewhere down the line in a past life I wasn't.
I'm glad you mentioned the spirituality part because when you look at yoga, when you look at kind of various spiritual masters, etc. A lot of the West is kind of really adopted or has adopted, kind of some of those spiritual aspects of, really getting to life and getting through life as well.
Yeah.
And that's something that's, kind of we must celebrate. And what you'll also notice in terms of Indian is that we find the commonality. You know, we find, for example, our Zulu brothers or, the white brothers, etc. And we kind of really get on with finding the common ground and we get on with it. And that's why I said the youth, the current, generation is on par with.
They're looking outward, not inward, which is a really, really powerful place to be. Okay, how about you? What's your like scenario? Where are the Bulas from? What kind of family are you guys?
Well, We obviously originated from Durban, so you know, from here, grew up a lot of family around here in the Durban region. I've got a bit of family up in Johannesburg, Middleburg, etc. as well, and kind of family orientated.
Grew up speaking just English.
Just English. You know, Dad sent me to go and do the traditional Urdu classes and learn a bit of that. And obviously went into a madrasa or got into the Islamic kind of, you know, after school classes, etc. Didn't learn much of the language part, but got into the religious aspects of things. But I found myself over the last few years becoming a very more spiritual person as opposed to a religious person in terms of, you know, kind of really respecting other religions. And, you know, my family is very diverse in terms of kind of a melting pot of various religions as well.
And so have you got in your family Muslims and Hindus and Christians and everything?
You know, my wife is South Indian as well, and we all get on well because, like I said, I've become a spiritual, you know, being as opposed to just, you know, worried or have this religious kind of connotation or whatever it may be as well. So yes,
that's actually fascinating because I grew up with a lot of Indian friends as well, and I used to be so envious after school when they went to madrasa. I'm like, I don't know what happened there, but I want some of that as well.
Well, believe me, you don't want some of it because sometimes when it comes to you know, the rules. I was there, the rules, and you know, you were allowed to do this and that, and you know, you were disciplined.
But even just changing though, I know it's so superficial, but you know, they change and it's dressing up for this, it's a process and it's a ritual, and that's always been fascinating to me, particularly even with Hindu friends as well. I used to try to make my own red strings. I know it's absolutely sad.
And the tattoos and stuff.
Yeah, just like
but usually big families, right? Usually. Mm-hmm. And big extended families. And like everybody gets together. There's a large kind of network of support.
There certainly is. There's lots of, you know, kind of rituals. You spoke about rituals. So lots of the rituals, lots of the festivities kind of is where, you know, people celebrate. And sometimes at the moment, currently, you get a chance to kind of really celebrate a lot more in terms of, you know, on a bigger level. So there's lots more in the country, et cetera.
In terms of media, because this is where you are, there are a couple of channels on television. Yes. There's one, really. There's one channel, really, in South Africa that caters to the Indian community.
Sure.
You'd think there'd be more.
You'd think, you know, if from an India perspective, in India, there's like 600, or, you know, a fair amount of that.
You'd think there'd be more.
And again, in South Africa, you know, when you look at the over the years as well, you know, they brought out a fair split of channels, and then suddenly they took it away, et cetera, you know, because it only catered and it was about numbers, et cetera. So there's been a fair amount of I wouldn't say unfairness in terms of exactly what they could get through and, you know, what the media could offer, et cetera.
Let's just say that they're missing opportunities.
They are. And
in radio, you had Lotus, but now... So you decided, hell, I'm going to start my own thing.
Well, to tell you where it all started, I did a course years ago up in the mountains in Magaliesburg with John Keogh, who's one of the great mind power you know, gurus, call it that. And while doing an automatic writing exercise, I wrote out that you will have your own radio station. And I had no idea at the time when I looked at it. I said to the rest of the, you know, the group that, look at this. This is what I wrote, you know, not going to happen, but it's written down. And going through a bit of pain, et cetera, in terms of, you know, the SABC years ago, et cetera, I put down a vision of exactly what a radio station should be like for the people of South Africa, for the various people of South Africa. And I put down this entire vision and I said, this is exactly what I believe should be there in terms of the vision, in terms of the music, in terms of the team, et cetera.
Yeah.
And, basically what we have with Sky Radio is exactly that.
So Sky Radio, you guys are also online.
Yes,
online. And that's the place to be because then people all over the world can hear you. Exactly. You're not limited to how far your signal reaches or what your license conditions are.
Yeah.
You can go crazy. You can do whatever you want.
All over the world, all over the country. And that's what we've been doing, and being in the community, being in the heart of the community as well.
So where do you guys broadcast from and what kind of stuff do you do?
We broadcast from Nandi Drive, so our studios are in Nandi Drive. And please, the next time, I'd like to invite you formally to come in, you know, basically visit us and do a show from there. Maybe do the breakfast show, whichever show it may be, you know, on the weekend as well. So we broadcast from Nandi Drive. And in terms of music, we play a variation of music. So you don't just have Indian music, but there's a bit of English music, etc. And a variation of North and South.
That's cool.
Yep.
That's very cool. And it's going well?
It's going great. You and I both know it's a bit of a tougher industry because everybody wants, kind of to get into their cars and, listen to a frequency, et cetera.
Yeah.
But some of the frequencies that are there now, you and I both know, are not offering the best. So.
I'm always curious about how well it's going commercially, too, because, people are used to doing things in the media environment in very standard and traditional ways. They all talk about how they want to be innovative, but none of them really are doing it in terms of the agencies, the clients. A lot of them are scared to do anything new. They'd rather just stick to what they've always done and hope that that keeps working out for them. And clearly it's not working out for them. So the time is now to make a jump and to support. Do you have a lot of support from clients and advertisers and people in the community?
Well, we've started that campaign since June last year. And what we found is that some of your bigger corporates, they basically are like what you just mentioned. They work on agencies, they work on numbers, etc., which is rightly so. They would work through from there. What we've kind of found is that there's bigger support in terms of your smaller startups, the guys that are really wanting to get involved or get into showcasing their new brand or their brand for that matter, or tap into that specific market. So we kind of really found that those are the guys that we want to talk to and we want to showcase.
Are you having fun? Is this what you dreamed it would be, or is it a uphill battle and you're not having any fun at all?
I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, but you're going to have days, and we both know about this, where things aren't going to be as easy.
We do have those days, or I do have those days. Sometimes, you look into the mirror, and I've got kids as well, you realize, is this really, what it's all, or what I set out to do, etc.? It's scary. So basically on the edge of a cliff, call it that. So you have that, but at the same token, it's just been a brilliant ride in terms of, I always used to hear the philosophy or the term, if you do what you love doing, you never have to work a day in your life.
Right.
I'm kind of living that to a certain extent now, so I'm living it, literally as well and enjoying it.
What about the theater and movie stuff that you've done in your life? Because, that's an interesting thing that I don't know much about. I don't know anything about the theater.
Well, kind of growing up or wanting to get into the industry or the media industry, there was this actor in me that needed to get out and kind of really go and express the art, call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked through on a few radio dramas, and then one of my dreams was to kind of work at the Playhouse, and the Playhouse is this brilliant theater. I'm sure you've seen
here
it
in Durban.
As well.
It's awesome.
It's awesome, and wanting to, there was always been this passion to really perform on the stage. So I got an opportunity years ago.
What, acting? Is that what we're talking about?
Acting. Yeah. I went through for the casting, etc. They were doing a play at the Playhouse. It was called Charo's in Denial. Call it that. So. Brilliant name.
Charo's in Denial. So what did Charo's in Denial of? What's that all about?
Well, I played a few roles. One of them was being this gay guy, because there's this denial, or there's this, kind of really within the Indian community, this shunning, that's not us. It shouldn't be.
Oh, like there are no gays in the Indian community.
Yes. So I got a chance to kind of showcase, my acting talents and work through, the
end. Is it difficult to play a gay guy when you're straight?
Not really. Not really. I think if you really get into character and if you really feel, and that's what I love doing. I love getting into it and, getting into the moment and feeling that person's life, etc. You kind of really will switch over.
Did family, friends, people who know you, did they say to you, oh, why are you playing a gay role?
No, I think I had a lot of support. I had
really?
A lot of, that great, family and friends.
You know what I'm talking about. Like a straight guy in Hollywood plays a gay guy, and then suddenly everybody goes, well, he must be gay.
Yeah.
You've heard this before.
We did have one or two comments from co-workers. But yes. But I think, the message was, just great being part and parcel of this. And I have left it for a bit, so maybe I need to start kind of...
Maybe
really
you need to get back in there.
I think so.
Is acting fun? Because I've never tried it properly. I've never really done anything like that. And I obviously, there are lots of people in South Africa who want to be actors. Everybody is just waiting for their big break in Hollywood, frankly. There are lots of people who love to do it. But is it fun actually practicing it, learning the scripts, having to, especially in theater, having to mark yourself out on stage? You have to know what everybody else's lines are.
It's tough work, but if you have a passion for it, once again, it's great. It kind of brings it through. But again, coming through with the current media, what we've, the opportunities with Facebook Live, Gareth, and so much of online. You know, we've got great opportunity. Now, I come through from going through in Johannesburg, in Rosebank, and going and standing in lines in terms of auditions, etc. Yeah. And, you know, being told by Peter and Doro, you know what, you're never going to make it.
I'm so sorry, but you're not going to make it. You're just too good. and I'm just too smiley to be able to say to you in a horrible way that you're a piece of shit. Get out of my studio. Is that the kind of thing that he says?
Well, you know,
how did he break the news to you?
We did a course, and he was like, you know what, out of all of you guys here, amongst you guys, maybe one or two of you may make it, but I think none of you are going to make it into the industry.
See, Peter and Dora, you think he's such a nice guy, huh? And look at that.
Well, wow. You know what? Again, that brings the Indianness, because when someone tells you you can't, or, you know, etc., you know, you really keep on pushing through, and that's something that I kept on, you know, working through. And again, the message to the youth out there listening in is that now you've got bigger platforms. You don't have to go and worry and stand in a line for an audition. You create it on your own.
The Indianness.
I want to use that at least like three more times.
I'm going to use the Indianness.
But I'd actually like to find out, on the topic of acting, by the way, you know, we look at Hollywood and now like the signs are there that, you know, the importance or the relevance of like celebrities in Hollywood is kind of dwindling. But how is it going in Bollywood? Because there's like Shah Rukh Khan still carrying heavyweight and power. Aishwarya Rai still the biggest thing ever.
Well, on both sides, both the, you know, obviously the Bollywood, and then you've got the South Indian movie industry. Both those industries are, you know, tremendously successful, you know, in India and across the world. You know, you've got Rajinikanth, who obviously is, you know, releases a movie and the entire India takes a holiday for that movie. And he's in his late, you know, 50s, 60s, you know.
People take time off to go just to watch a movie.
They take the day off to go, you know, and that's the kind of reality of the Indian, you know, diaspora on that side of the world.
Wow.
What is sad is that we need to bring that into the country. And that's something that I'm, you know, kind of really passionate about, is bringing that kind of, you know, and celebrating that in this country. But it is a thriving industry, and kind of more so now growing in the West in terms of dollars and pounds, etc. as well. So a lot of your Bollywood actors and actresses, you find them working through in the West and, you know, getting a lot, you know, in the States.
Explain Bollywood movies to me. What's with the trees and the ribbons and the dancing and the, what's
it's
that all
amazing.
About? And the love stories. Every one of them has a love story in it. And there's usually some real obvious villain.
Yes.
I mean, am I trying to read too much into it? Is it just entertainment, or is there something that I'm missing here? Like the story arcs, the dancing. Yeah, I got to know how that just happens. Because one minute I'm talking to some girl, and she says something to me, and I look, and there's suddenly the sunrise, and then everybody's dancing.
Yes.
I think, I don't know when last you watched a Bollywood movie, but the recent movies have changed a lot, so you don't have this.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about
what you're
though.
Saying.
Don't pretend this doesn't happen.
I think it was Abhishek Bachchan, who's like a leading Bollywood actor, who said, who needs a love scene when you can dance it out? That's like true, because, you know, the male and the female lead are just about to get close, and they profess each other's lines.
It's allegorical. It's
like, cut to on a mountaintop, music's playing, dance routine.
And you're there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, what's important is the journey. You know, we kind of really live a life of, you know, we've got government, you've got taxes, you've got, you know, your boss, you've got corporates. You know, there's so much of, you know, stuff that happens. So they create these movies, or they create these scripts, etc., where they kind of really, for 3 hours, they can take you away, you know, on a escape of exactly great times, you know, great feelings, and kind of invoke a lot of those emotions, etc., that's so vital. And that's what they do well, both on North Indian movies and South Indian movies as well. And usually with all of the music, etc., at some stage or the other, even if you bit of you know, you have a bit of tearing, etc., there's a message. So you'd walk out of it and say, you know what, that was a message, you know, that's something that I can relate to. And that's where, you know, a good Bollywood script usually happens. So there's that. That's the whole. It's just about the escape, taking you away, taking the viewer away for that period of time, and then bringing back to reality.
But you've actually done some stuff in the movie business just recently, right?
Well, it's kind of a while ago that I did it. It hasn't been released yet, but again, I worked through, you know, and I had the opportunity of, you know, working through a script and doing a bit of acting there as well. Played a character, which was quite fun.
When it comes to progression and breaking away from, you know, the stereotypical templates of what, you know, the movie plot is, for example, is Bollywood also opening up? Will we see more, for example, diversity, or will we see, you know, a female lead who's in a bikini or something. How's the industry opening up?
Over the last few years, you've seen that already happen. You have a lot of South African actors and actresses, you know, being featured in Bollywood movies. And we're talking over the last, say, 15, 20 years, you know, some of the actresses that you see on Scandal, Annie Dingo, et cetera, you know, were featured or are featured in Bollywood movies. Jackie Chan, you know, to speak about diversity, he released a Bollywood movie. He worked through with an entire crew of Bollywood.
Jackie Chan. We can't even understand his English. No, he's going to try Hindi or something.
Yeah. Yeah, do us a favor. That sounds like a terrible idea.
Right. So there's the diversity. What you've also found is that, you know, a lot of the Bollywood actresses, et cetera, and actors have kind of found their way into the West. So you've got Deepika that's in The Fast and the Furious, Fast and the Furious, XXX, you know, with Xander Cage, et cetera. And
Priyanka Chopra just went into Quantico.
Exactly.
Which is so, big now.
So there's this kind of cross, you know, and I think it's up to the directors to really get into the now generation and start speaking to them, you know, in terms of what moves them. And that's something that they've got to look at as well.
What about Durban? I mean, like, Durban is a fascinating place. You've lived here for a long time now. You pretty much are a local.
Yeah, even when I lived in Middelburg, I used to be in Durban 5-6 times in a year.
There we go.
So, beautiful place. You guys have seen, you know, kind of, it's the cultural diversity is rich. There's so much to do, and everything is an experience. You know, just you know, walking down you know, the Golden Mile, or going and jumping off, you know, at Moses Mabhida, you know, from that, everything is an experience.
You know, I had this argument with someone once from Cape Town, because Cape Townians are very proud of being from Cape Town, and they, you know, they should be. It's a beautiful place. But there's something about Durban that makes it a real African city. Like, if you are in town in Durban, you know you're in Africa. You know what I mean? It's got like feeling. There's a sound. There's people selling stuff on the side of the road.
There's this rich aroma of smells through.
Absolutely. And you feel like, okay, now I'm definitely in Africa. Sometimes in Joburg, you don't get that feeling. In Joburg, sometimes you might be in Texas. You don't know that. You know, it's suburbia in certain parts of Joburg. Cape Town, you go through the gamut. Feels like you're in the Mediterranean in some parts of Cape Town. Other parts of Cape Town, it says that. Durban, most of the time, you know you're in Africa. You get a feel that this is a place where you've got this incredible Zulu culture. You've got this Indian infusion. You've got like the white settlers who came here at Port Natal and all of that stuff. You've got like a feeling of everybody fought over this place really hard.
Exactly.
Whether they fought about it culturally or whether they actually went to war for it. It's like this is almost the jewel in the crown in some ways.
Very true. And they get on so brilliantly to a certain extent, you know, and a lot of times they just have fun with each other. You know, I work, I do a fair amount of social work as well, you know, and you see that when there's a kind of a crisis that hits a specific part of Durban, whether it's a children's home or whatever, you know, the guys in their droves from all cultures just all get together and they get it done. You know, they get the work done. And that's something that's, you know, speaks greatly of Durban, is that when crisis hits, people get together and they make things happen. And that's something to be proud of.
It's almost got like a small town mentality, even though it's a huge city.
True.
Yeah. And people get stuff done here. This is another thing I like to tell everybody from other parts of the country who says, well, you know, Durban's like the fourth or the fifth. I reckon it's aiming for second place in terms of, like, the contribution it makes to the economy. First of all, it's a major port city. There's a lot of trade that happens here.
Yes.
There's so much construction going on. There's so much development happening. It's spreading left, right, and center. And it also has the benefit of being, you know, geographically in a really beautiful part of the country that's, in terms of weather,
superb. So its identity won't let you forget.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here that is circumstantial, but there's a lot about the people that there's dynamism, there's energy here.
There is. And what's great about it is that there's a spread of it. So it's not just, you know, you're not seeing only development up here in Umhlanga, for example, but you're seeing developments in terms of, you know, getting people, you know, out of where the squatter camps, etc. So you've got a Kanubia that's coming through as well. So it's an area that's developing just up across the bridge from Gateway as well. So there's areas developed for people, you know, who need to get out of the camps and get into, you know, where. So there's a variation of growth that's happening. And what's great is that, you know, the guys sit behind those closed doors in Durban, and they really, like you said, they get stuff done sometimes, but they get it done.
No, they get it done mostly. I haven't had that problem here. But you mentioned earlier Umhlanga. This whole area is unrecognizable.
I have a lot of friends here, so I come to this place often. I went down to the Umhlanga village the other day to go and see what's going on there at the Pearls. This place has suddenly exploded into this massive... I mean, there's a shopping mall, and then there's another shopping mall, and then there's stores, and then it looks like the
new buildings,
the high street. I mean, there's these developments, these apartments, millions and millions of rands to buy a tiny little space.
I think they're building the third Pearls building, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and then there's the Radisson Blue that's coming up as well. So, yes.
And there are new stores.
Crazy.
And with a whole new mall of exclusive stores.
And yes. It's no longer this seasonal place where you wait for everyone else to bring their money here in the holidays. Mm. It's busier on a weekday in March than it is over the holidays in January or December.
Very true.
That's my experience. I went to the shops. I was talking to someone about this the other day. In fact, yesterday. You go to the shops on a, you know, lunchtime Wednesday afternoon, and you will see more people than you will on a Friday in the holidays.
Very true. It's even happened on the roads. I mean, you know, years ago, you wouldn't have, kind of congestion, etc.
Traffic wasn't a problem. Try going down the hill from up in Umhlanga Rocks Drive. Try going down into town, into the village, as they call it. You're going to spend hours in peak time. You did yesterday, Sia.
True. Difficult at the moment. Well, what's great about it is that they're busy working through. So there's a huge interchange that's coming through. That'll obviously eradicate and take a lot of, the strain off things. But it is growing. And something to be proud of is the food as well. You know, I love that.
All right. Now, let's get to the gist of this. This is what everybody wants to know. I have heard about a certain number of places that get mentioned over and over again when it comes to really good Indian food. I'm talking curries, I'm talking about biryanis, I'm talking about all that kind of thing, right? So help me out. Let's not mess around. Let's not give people bullshit. Let's not try and be balanced and fair and mention this crappy place. Where do you go when you want something real? And where do I go if I want to come down here, especially for some good Indian food? I love, love, love a decent curry.
Well, if you love a great curry,
you've got to go to someone's house.
Yeah, I was just going to say, come home.
You know? You're not helping me, though. I mean,
but I guess there's a lot of great places. If you're looking at the vegetarian aspect of things, if you want the good veg, and if you have
you got me now.
Right. So,
and you can never please this guy, by the way. He goes through a menu and crosses off 99% of it.
I need a good like paneer korma, then I'm yours.
Right, so I could take you to places that work through for or that have that or that serve that up. For example, great places.
Do you even like Indian food?
I love it.
Okay.
We went on the cruise. Can you remember we went on the cruise and I was very sick and green on the cruise?
Right, because you weren't getting the stuff that you cared about.
Probably that, but I was missing the food. But I love it. But coming back to that, there's a great place that I normally take the family through. For paneer, or even if it is if you wanted a nice chicken bunny, etc.
Yeah.
It's down the road on the M4, Jaipur Palace. I basically go out to them.
I'm actually writing this down.
We're both making notes, yeah.
We must do a get together on that. But they on the M4, and they really they serve up the best of paneer, etc. as well. So they cater for, and my wife is vegetarian, so I've got to obviously be very wary of this, and make sure that we choose restaurants, etc. that work through and that.
You don't have any strange dietary habits, do you?
Not really. No, I'm good.
Being vegetarian is not strange.
Shut up.
Thank you very much.
But call it that. So great paneer, they'll serve you up with, and a great bunny as well, whether it's mutton or chicken as well. That's the place that I go through, and. It's nice because it has the Durban feel to it. So if you wanted the takeaway feel, or if you wanted more, the restaurant feel, they'll give you that as well.
I'm sold. So what do you do over the weekends when you're not working?
Well,
there's so much to do around here.
Years ago, I used to do exactly what you used to do, what Sia does currently, party, etc. as well. And then I got kids. So what I normally now do is basically find a user-friendly or a kid-friendly kind of exercise, which is not that difficult in Durban. You get so much of opportunities to do, to take your kids out and, go through, whether it's, at the stadium or whether it's on the Golden Mile, etc. So a lot of activities, get together with the kids, push them out. Or if it is maybe heading up to Balito and getting into the tidal pool, etc., as long as it's safe.
Sure.
That's the kind of lifestyle that we do have the pleasure of leading.
What are the politics like down here? I mean, is it basically ANC DA?
I think.
Is that what you got? Because there used to be old Rajbunzi's Minority Front, and then whatever happened to that? Did someone take it over? Did it just fall apart? What what happened to that?
I'm not even going to go there, but you know what? What you'll find,
I know people who used to vote for him. Don't laugh.
No. The greatest part is that what you find currently now, Gareth, is that there's a lot of undercurrents in terms of you know exactly what's happening in the ANC, etc. But then there's the king, and the king is
He's important.
You know, he's important, and he's been voicing a lot of you know kind of
who knows
opinions,
where he stands at the moment.
Exactly. So what I like about it is that there's a fair amount of you know a good banter between you know the guys at the moment currently, which is great.
All right. So people are talking to each other, but it's not adversarial. It's not like they're fighting the whole time. It's not like that. Because KZN used to be a hotbed of violence. And there used to be the IFP and ANC violence. And a lot of it was backed by the old regime. So it was complicated. There's none of that going on. Like, there's not. Yeah, like, I've been to Umlazi before. And I like Umlazi very much, especially on a Sunday when you can go there for like a, you know, Sunday afternoon car wash braai situation.
Yeah. Shisanyama.
Shisanyama. Right. And then, you know, you talk about that. But then there are places where there's still kind of a lot of tension, and there tends to be, you know, whether it's taxi violence or whether it's motivated by commercial interests or whether it's political, whatever it might be. You know, Kwamashu's never really settled down to a quiet, you know, chilled place. It's always been a little bit
tense. A bit of undercurrent, yes. Yeah. There has been that. And what you'll notice is that there's been over the last few years as well, from an Indian perspective as well, you know, there's, you know, to a certain extent, a bit of undercurrents. You know, what's happening?
So
are these guys, you know, achieving and you know, working through as well? So there's
what
been
do you mean? What are the basic touch points here? Who are we talking about?
I guess, you know, just generally, I think mostly, obviously, the you know, the guys sitting, you know, up in, you know, in various, you know, government institutions saying, hey, you know what, how's it going? You know, how is it that he's getting through, etc. as well. So hence why you'll notice over the next few months, you'll have a bit more clamping down in terms of BEE, etc., because of, you know, all of this. And again, it's, you know, the guys are working through. If you give us an opportunity to go through, and this is the document, this is what you need, we'd go through and give you all of that. So if we suddenly, you know, doing the job better than everybody else, now it's a problem. If the money's coming through, now it's
okay.
A problem, you know. So there's that kind of undercurrent. But
and there tends to be a bit of resentment, right?
To a certain extent, you guys had the opportunity, or you went to that school, etc. as well. It wasn't so difficult, okay. But we all went through that. You mentioned it early on in the show. We all went through the similar kind of process, It was just basically, you know, kind of, we'll give you that because that's your dietary requirement. We can't give you this, etc. But it was looked at as, you know, what, suddenly you're getting better than me, but not really. It was because dietary requirements required that we give you that as opposed to that. You know, I'm talking about Robben Island and years ago there. That's where I'm going with it.
You're not talking about actual dietary. You're being allegorical.
No, I'm not going through with CS stuff. But
an important thing that you say about Sky Radio and what you're involved in now, and something that's probably been important to you from the beginning, is showcasing talent and discovering talent and developing that talent. And you care about that stuff a lot.
I certainly do. And, you know, you were speaking, you know, just now about Durban and what's currently happening. The saddest part is the, you know, during this time of the year, the UKZN riots that happen in terms of students and fees, etc. If they could get that solved every time, you know, it'll be so much better for everybody. So that's one of, if you talk about Durban, a bit of a damning point would be that, or downward point would be that, you know, if we can get that resolved, it'd be great. And hence, you know, we looked at this and we said we want to have a platform where we're taking, and we're currently taking in students from there and saying, listen, let's, you know, kind of give you a you know, a platform, because we know you're going to get, you know, a socialite or a great actor, etc., that's going to tell you it's not going to happen. So here we're saying, here's a platform, we'll teach you and we'll get you behind the mic and behind the scenes as well.
Well, listen, it's been very good to catch up with you, Zaid, and I hope that we see you again soon. All the best with Sky Radio.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
I hope you continue to have success there. And well done to you for being brave enough also to come into this online space and compete with the world. Show off what South Africa has to the rest of the world.
I really appreciate it. And please come through and visit our studios.
Yay.
And enjoy your birthday. We're still going to hopefully get together.
I believe you're
staying over here, so we'll definitely get a chance
Jaipur
to catch up.
Jaipur Palace,
as well.
The place to be.
you want to bribe us to come through to your studios? You know what to do. Food, dude.
Food, all right, definitely.
But I love the tagline as well, our time is now. You know, the Sky Radio tagline, which speaks to everything you were saying this morning. Definitely.
All right. Thanks very much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Very good.
cliffcentral.com.